is that it's the responsibility of each of us to be sure that we have taken the initiative to be professional. You can see on page, let's see here. First of all, on page 3 of 14 of the task book, it talks about the home unit certifying official responsibilities. And the way this is written is really, if we had 100 people in our organization, which ones we want to select to go through this training? I really think number one, having a certifying official is probably not relevant to us, or frankly for any of the other South County people. But I would direct your attention on page 4 of 14 to item number 2. What are the trainee responsibilities to keep the position
the task book.
Position task book in possession and making it available for evaluation and update upon request, reviewing and understanding the instructions in the book. Again, these are responsibilities for each of us, not for the training person. Identifying desired objectives and goals, providing background information to an evaluator, satisfactorily demonstrating completion of all tasks for an assigned position within a designated time frame, assuring that our respective evaluation records are complete, and notifying the home unit representatives when the position task book is completed.
And that sounds similar to a safety passport.
It's very similar to the safety passport. The way that I see it, I think the passport is a better tool for our organization.
Okay.
Than this. However, this provides more meat as far as how to qualify in the passport. By the way, does everybody have a new passport for this year?
Yeah, it's blank. It's empty.
It's empty, but everybody's got one. Okay, I brought extras. Anybody on the tape that listens that doesn't have a passport, let me know. Okay, and I think now if we jump down to, Al, your comment is appropriate. Now, on item number 3, the evaluator responsibilities, the thing that I highlighted here is accurately evaluating and recording demonstrated performance of tasks. Again, that's our passport. The passport emphasizes demoing what we've learned. So, for Mission Viejo, I think we will be using the passport. Item number 5, incident or home unit qualification specialist responsibilities. Okay, well, this is pretty much defines my responsibilities. Identifying incident evaluation opportunities, also known as drills. Assuring that trainees have met prerequisites. Identifying and assigning qualified evaluators that can provide a positive experience for the trainee. I think that's the radio officers. Documenting assignments, conducting progress reviews, and all that. There's a lot of formality here. We just don't have the manpower and the time. But as the training guy, I will do more of this. Okay, the rest of this document, I would direct your attention to the bottom of page 5 of 14. Where it shows the code 0 and I. And I see that's important. The 0 to items through the rest of the document in, under the column code are tasks that may be completed in a variety of situations such as classroom, simulation, drill, daily job, field training, or deployment activities.
That's probably an O for observation, an I is for incident.
Yeah, and the I, you're right, I for incident. And again, those would be strictly evaluated during a real incident. We don't see many real incidents. So I think that I probably means simulations and drills as well for us. Now, the way I look at this is probably marching orders for me as I think about exercises and drills that we might have in the future. But it's also marching orders for you in that you need to be going down through these various items and asking yourself, am I really familiar with each one? And if so, great. If not, go back into some of our other courses that we've already covered. And for example, item number 2, we talked about common denominator standards and what that was. So this can be a tool to go back and refresh. And I think that's really all that I had to say about the position task book. So now we will get back to our main presentation, and we are now on slide number 15. Again, this is a slide summarizing what we do to prepare for an incident. And I think the key thing there is we talked about standardized pre-deployment operations. We've talked about incident mobilization nets. We've talked about training sessions and drills like VFTOM. And now that takes us to slide 16. And there's a handout which is a lot more legible. In your packet, it's also a reference slide to slide 16. And this was, for those who didn't go through the original class almost a year ago, this was a way to look at the classes that we've completed. And you can see that as far as MAPS, minimal acceptable performance standards, we have pretty much covered all of those. We didn't specifically cover a class on vehicle safety inspection, but we dealt with it, and we know how to use the form.
That brings me up a question.
Hey, question.
I'm doing the VSI, vehicle safety inspection, and I've discovered that it's like 6:30, and I'm going to be here at 7 p.m. No right turn signal. Does that mean I stay home? Thank you, Jay. Yeah. Put a fire in the fireplace and get it out.
Park up an NLO and just sit back.
Exactly.
You know, I think that that question did come up during our regional class a year ago. Wayne talked about it, but it was in the context of how much tire tread was acceptable. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think the form was changed.
It was.
From a quarter of an inch to...
Max.
To whatever the organizational maps is. And for us, it is yet to be determined. But
well, another question would be, if your windshield is chipped, does that preclude you from...
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think... Or another area that is dear to all of us is where the gas gauge is. That if we don't have a full tank, do we leave home?
On the revised form, it doesn't say how full.
I think Wayne discussed one time, right after one of the classes, or at a break time, and he said, you don't have to have a full tank when you leave the home, but if you're going to a real incident, you need to have a full tank before you arrive there.
Yeah. This gauge works properly.
Yeah, on the form it says gasoline gas gauge works properly and accurately.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Doesn't say anything.
It doesn't say about being full.
No.
But I would suggest to you that anything less than half full, we ought to take care of it. Because we, you know, if we had a real incident, just on the personal level, if we had a real incident, and say it was a power outage, we would be up the creek without the paddle, being able to go to a gas station who has electric pumps and pump gas because we allowed our gas gauge to get much below a half.
So that's what happened when the power went out.
Yeah.
When it's stranded.
Where?
Well, when the power went out, that massive power outage, what was it, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Power outage in Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah, it started in Arizona and San Diego County.
Yeah, San Diego.
And then parts of South County.
Yeah. Wow, and Wayne talked about his observations during supporting Katrina operations, and the folks that drove from all over the country into the area only to get there with an empty tank,
yeah,
and expecting to fill up when there was no electricity. So yeah, I think the bottom line is we have to use some good common sense. If we are responders, it's our responsibility to keep that tank full, to keep the tires safe, because it could be raining, so forth. Getting back to this form, again, we've covered standardized activation levels activities. We've talked about activation mobilization checklists. We've covered ICS 214. We certainly have covered information and in fact done incident mobilization resource travel and staging nets. We've done vehicle safety inspection. So this is a good summary of our mutual aid training. We're currently completing under field radio specialist maps, field radio specialists, the ZR2F. What do you think about shadow communicator specialists? Is that something we need to have training on?
I think that would be something that we would have to discuss with Paul, because they've never indicated that they would have a need for us to shadow.
Okay, so...
I'm supposed to be in there, yes, see?
Yeah. Okay, so...
I think our low numbers of personnel, it might preclude us from having the ability to do that.
That's true, because again, we have to man the EOC,
and then
the radio room.
And then the number one priority, allegedly, is the field radio operator. So mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to be able to do the EOC and field. Mm-hmm. Much less be a shadow.
Much less... But the field could conceivably be a shadow op. For example, many years ago, we simulated as part of Laguna Niguel ACS, Al and I, shadow ops of the Laguna